Welcome, friends, to the God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. So grateful and excited to be back to preview season two of God Friended Me.
You know, Pete, I put myself in our podcasting shoes this time last year. We, of course, had seen the pilot that streamed in August online. It was a little early on your CBS All Accesses, etc. But really not having a sense beyond that of where the show was headed. And, you know, there were some times where I think the show in season one was finding what worked best for it. Then I kind of fast forward to episode 120 and just looking back at that season and anticipating the second season, where this is a good old-fashioned wholesome show that also talks about modern issues in a deceivingly complex way. So complex at times, Pete, it feels non-complex. I mean that as a complete compliment. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for those warm and fuzzies to return with God Friended Me.
I mean, can you say we need them at this point? I think we can all agree we really do. You know, and returning TV shows, a known commodity, this freshman hit that now gets to return for its sophomore season, and the ability to kind of shed what got them there and to evolve into a new thing.
Yeah, and I think that it was only partway through the season, maybe even the three-quarter mark of the first season, that it was really evident that the show was built to evolve and was built to change. And you saw that certainly in the closing episodes of that first season, and you get that sense in these episodes that are ahead. Pete, we have four episodes, by the way, scheduled all consecutive Sundays, so we have a nice chunk ahead of us, even as, you know, sometimes God Friended Me, as the one of the more junior shows on CBS, might need a pause here or a week off there. What for your, I don't know, rodeo shows or whatever else CBS does on Sunday nights. But, you know, we have that nice chunk to look forward to.
And they were able to tell the story they wanted to in the first season. They got the renewal for the second. They had been picked up early in the first season. So as far as the storytelling, it was mapped out, it was planned, and it was executed. And now you look at where they left off, what with Kara going to Paris, with Miles staying back in New York, meeting this woman who was asking about the God account, a new regular to the show, actress by the name of Jessica Liu, who will be playing the character of Joy, for which the first episode of the second season draws its name.
Yeah, and I think as you recapped there, Pete, with characters on the move, new character coming in, certainly I'll add to that the notion that Arthur Finer was going to be leaving some of his religious obligations behind. Again, the fact that this is a show where it's not, you know, dad versus son. It's not, you know, who will get the promotion, Miles or Rakesh, that the conflict is driven from outside this core bunch of characters. And now the show has the smarts to have these characters evolve and change in life, to bring new characters in and so forth. That plus, you know, the basic wholesome message that it promotes, one that I guess on the one hand is religious, and on the other hand, it's not kind of spouting a particular religious dogma, that just sense of decency. Yeah, Pete, it feels like we need that sense of decency now more than we did a year ago.
Possibly even more than we need it when they left off in the spring. In addition to Jessica Liu joining the cast, we have a recurring cast member, Erica Gimple, who plays Trish, now the Reverend Finer's fiance, elevated to a regular cast member. And, you know, really looking forward to what that dynamic, what with Arthur and his fiance here, is going to bring to the show as it continues to morph, to change in this, the second season.
There certainly were times in that first season where it felt like, you know, the Reverend Arthur Finer is in one story lane. And, you know, of course, Miles is able to check in on the home front and the work front and the account front. but where exactly is there room for Reverend Finer? I think they've done things to free up the character, to maximize the presence of Joe Morton, who is such a fantastic actor. And, you know, again, I marvel back that first season. It feels so organic that that Joe Morton's character would make those shifts in life, even though, I mean, you don't oftentimes hear of people, particularly when they're on the higher end of a religious order, you know, he running for the bishopship and all of that, to kind of say, no, I'm going to step away. Nonetheless, it didn't feel contrived. It felt very natural.
And some news today, Matt, of a cast member that will join the show, albeit at a more limited basis. Peppermint, who was on season 9 of RuPaul's Drag Race, is going to appear in a 2-episode arc as a transgender pastor. So I think one of the hallmarks of this show as it's existed so far is the idea of exposing different perspectives. And I think the showrunners have done a wonderful job of incorporating that. You have a gay daughter of a pastor, and that was handled, and I think handled very tastefully, you know, not for views, not for sensationality, but to deal with the realness of that. And as part of, you know, Arthur's election towards the bishop role and how that naturally evolved. Very interesting to see this development today and how that will play out on the show.
Particularly, and I don't mean to kind of throw rocks here, but CBS traditionally is the network of least change, of, hey, you know what, you throw together another NCIS spinoff, I don't know, 8 to 10 million people will just shuffle along, old reliable, from NCIS to New Orleans to, you know, Bismarck, North Dakota, whatever your kind of latest thing is, your latest familiar thing. This is a show not built on familiar roots, what with, you know, all these people of color in the main cast, prominent women in it as well. And somehow it continues to do really well. I know that, you know, the ratings for the last episode, the season one finale, were down a tad, but you just need to perform as well as you need. I'm saying you, the show. A show need only perform the way its time slot needs you to perform. You know, not everything's going to be a major hit. And yes, it was a series low of 6.92 million live viewers for the season finale, but that was coming off, you know, stuff in the 7s, stuff in the 8. And let's not forget, too, Pete, there's God Friended Me, there's the NFL Friended God Friended Me, and you have some big games there in the first half. By the time the show hits its Christmas break, you know, first season was any indication, over half the season still had football to lead into it. So, you know, you can do what you have to do. You fill the holes in the winter months, you know, as a good soldier in the CBS lineup, and away you go.
And you said it. It is just such a diverse cast. Really, you know, a trailblazer in that regard when it comes to network TV. And to continue to add to that, now an Asian woman, here a transgender actor coming in for a guest spot, to continue to highlight that and build upon that, I think can only extend the show's success. And more importantly, because this show will come and go eventually, the idea of exposing audiences to, you know, that idea of diversity we're all striving for.
Pete, I just keep circling back to, you know, first quarter of the season, maybe I was watching with pessimistic eyes sometimes. Maybe I was just learning to understand what the show's language was. Maybe it wasn't firing on all cylinders as it would, say, in the second half of the season. But I remember times being like, oh, well, this is a minor story, or this isn't, you know, whatever, whatever. But, you know, you would get to enter the second season not only having a sense of what worked. I think the show has charted out this very clear end to, we're not going to spend much more time trying to figure out the the mechanics behind the friend account, the god account rather, we're just going to go with these missions. We're going to go with telling this somewhat episodic, somewhat serial story. And I'm ready for that kind of generous, easy ride to start this Sunday.
I'm really looking forward to how the show builds upon that first season. I mean, the trailer for the second season hints that the god account has been around longer than we realize. And again, this interconnected nature. Now that Kara's been to Paris, now that she's done this, now that there's been a pause in the burgeoning relationship between Kara and Miles, which they took their time. I give full credit again to the producers. You know, they weren't together in episode 5. It was a slow and satisfying build. And just when they were together, this opportunity comes along for Kara to go to Paris, something she had wanted to do before. And here, connected with the account, connected with this work, she was going to write the book, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, will they have let time pass at a real clip? Will it be sped up? Interested to see where we meet them.
You know, it's funny, Pete, just kind of scrolling through the show's entry on Wikipedia and other things, it does strike me that a lot of the times when you have, you know, whether it's a Rotten Tomatoes score, or just kind of critical consensus, that sort of thing, you get feedback like that when a show starts. And certainly the show did not deviate much from the format given to us in the pilot, but it grew out of that. And I would be curious, for those reviewers, you know, to circle back and to, you know, to give the show another look. I don't know that that's necessarily what critics usually do, particularly looking to review the new and all of that. But it's a show that, again, in this weird Zen result, was what was promised and exceeded what was promised at the same time.
Yeah. And between our, you know, trio of lead characters and where they would pepper in others around it, continuing to build the idea of what's going on. I mean, when Parman Inagra shows up, when Adam Goldberg shows up, and further this mystery, but we've kind of at the same time shut the door a little bit on that mystery. We know how the account has come into being. So now this idea, I assume, we're going to pursue for the second season, that it's older than we thought, that it's taken on an even bigger life of its own, that Joy is brought into this. The stinger at the end of that first season seems to be the jumping off point.
Pete, I want to see a flashback circa 1995, get some Nirvana soundtrack going, maybe some, you know, striped long sleeve t-shirts. I want to have somebody on AOL, not even Instant Messenger, Pete, old school AOL. What's this, a message from God? You know, you want me to go help that lady cross the street?
Electronic mail from God? What?
How does this work? How was the postage on that? No, man, it's email. I mean, certainly a lot of places that the show could go in terms of, you know, having some fun there. I'll mention, Pete, you know, when last we discussed this show, there was not a particular delayed viewing, you know, DVR resume. Just quickly looking at the numbers here, you're looking at the neighborhood of, you want to talk an average, maybe about 1.75 million people who watch this on delay. Pretty healthy numbers. I think maybe the show was not helped by having the penultimate episode on March 31st and then 2 weeks later for a one-hour finale. So I don't know to what degree those lower ratings you kind of excuse ever so much. But Pete, you're talking, you know, the show debuted with 12 million viewers. The second episode had a little over 10 million viewers. Excluding that last episode and kind of the weird scheduling hiccup, Second to last episode, 9.7 million viewers. Very little churn there. Decent amount of people who maybe not decent amount, that's overselling it, but, you know, healthy enough on delayed viewing. Do we maintain that for the second season? Are we in the 9 million viewer total? Are we in the 7 million viewers live? Your thoughts there?
It's another mystery there that's got to be solved. I think Sunday is the day and the night. I think that's part of the show's DNA. I think they'd be smart to keep it there. Again, the lead on that you mentioned before with the NFL certainly helps to bring this to eyeballs. Whether or not they stick around, of course, is a whole different matter. And it's not as if the producers here, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, haven't had some struggles before with being moved around on a schedule. We go back to Alcatraz in 2012 and how they were jockeying around there. You mentioned the last couple weeks of the first season. But, you know, they came through on the other side and they got the renewal, and you have to expect that it's going to be the same 20 episode order at this point.
And then on top of that, pretty remarkable, particularly in light of your comments about, you know, kind of being bounced around the schedule. By my count, Pete, there was 11 episodes straight. The first 11 episodes were just consistently there on Sunday nights. Yes, sometimes delayed by football, but, you know, that's a pretty good first half deal to make. And then in the second half, take a little time off for the holidays, two episodes in January, one in February. I believe that was right around the time of the Grammys. I think there's another awards show somewhere in there. I don't know to what degree, Pete, one of your favorite television items, the Olympics, although pardon me, I guess that would be the summer, so never mind there. But I don't know to what degree other things will kind of bump it up in the schedule. But if you are going to play, I don't want to say sacrificial lamb, but if this is going to play second banana to other scheduling concerns in the second half of the year, you can hardly do much better than to deliver most of the season in the first 10, 11 weeks.
Yeah, and remembering too that the NFL, though it's had some struggles in recent years, remains the most watched thing on TV. So definitely does not hurt to have that as your lead-in.
It does not, Pete. Also not hurting is when people send us some kind reviews on Apple Podcasts. I believe you have one to read.
Yes, left for us here, Matt, by DMP85. The headline is "Great Duo, 5 stars. And it reads, "After watching the TV show, I have to listen to their podcast to help get details on the big mystery of the show."
Well, certainly, Pete, there is little better praise for a podcast about a TV show than to say it is must listen after watching your must watch TV show. So thank you, DMP85.
And as Fantastic Geek heads back into the regular TV schedule here, what with God Friend of Me coming back and a number of other shows we're going to be podcasting the debuts of, namely Watchmen on HBO and then The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, we're going to be heading up to New York Comic Con next week, as we always do this time of year. And we're doing a little bit of a giveaway, a little bit of a raffle with some of the swag that we will undoubtedly come away with. So anybody who leaves a review to our Watchmen podcast feed on Apple Podcasts will be entered into that drawing that will be drawn shortly after New York Comic Con, which runs October 3rd through October 6th.
And always appreciated as well, Pete, is the support people give us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek, particularly as we gear up for this forthcoming TV season where we have so much being podcasted, but of course, God Friended Me so near to our hearts. So thank you to those who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content. helped us get up to the Paley Center for the God Friended Me panel last year. You can check that out both on our website, fantasticgeek.com, as well as Apple Podcasts if you haven't heard that already.
Well, Pete, we will be eagerly watching the season 2 premiere on September 29th, podcasting it the next day on September 30th. So can't wait to be back in God Friend of Me mode. But for now, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Bye-bye.